1 Peter chapter number 1. Look here, starting in verse number 22. Verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, I am grateful to be here again preaching your word. And Lord, I'm grateful for the people that you brought in and the people over the internet, Lord. But I pray now that you use me here today. I pray you fill me with your spirit. I pray you give me your words, your boldness, your wisdom, Lord, to preach the truth of your words here today. And I pray, Lord, that you do what you do, and that's to speak to the hearts of those here today. And Lord, maybe there's somebody here that's never been born again, never been saved. Lord, I pray that today is the day that they call on you and receive eternal life, Lord. And we'll give you the glory for what you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to take a moment and imagine this. You close your eyes tonight at 8 p.m., and you open them in eternity. No more heartbeat, no more breath, no more chances. In that instant, you are standing in front of a holy, righteous God. Not as a church member, not as a husband, not as a wife, not as a Baptist or anything like that, but simply as a soul. I'm going to ask you the most important question of your life, the most important question you'll ever hear in your life. Are you saved or are you lost? I'm not asking if you've been baptized. I'm not asking if you grew up in church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. But I'm asking you, have you been born again? Have you repented of your sins and put your full trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, in Him alone? Let me tell you today, eternity is too long to be wrong. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You see, there's a lot of people walking the wrong road today. There's a lot of people thinking they're on the right road, but they're actually on the wrong road, contrary to the Word of God. You see, there's people all over the place that's made up an image of who they think God is in their mind, and it contradicts the God of the Bible. I'm just saying, God is not playing games with our soul. He's not playing games with your soul, and neither should you. Today's the day we ask that hard question, and we find the Bible answer. Eternity is not a fairy tale. Heaven and hell are not figments of our imagination. They are real, and every single person is going to one or the other, heaven or hell. When our heart beats, when our heart stops beating, that's it. That last beat, it quits beating, we quit breathing, we go out into eternity, and there's no coming back, there's no second chances. So today, I'm going to give you some evidence of being lost. Some evidence of being lost. Number one, you have no desire for the Word of God. If you look here in our text in 1 Peter 2:2, the Bible says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Have you ever seen a hungry baby? Have you ever seen a baby that is so hungry that it will cry until it gets milk? It's not satisfied with a song. It's not satisfied with a blanket. It's not satisfied with a toy or anything else. It wants milk. Now, in that same way, a truly born-again believer will desire the Word of God. If there is no desire, if there is no appetite for the Scripture, then there's reason to think, but question whether there is life there at all. You see, when you get born again, the Holy Spirit of God comes in you. You get a spiritual life imparted in you. Right? 1 Peter 1:23 says it this way. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. You see, that spiritual life demands food, just like that baby, just like you and I demand physical food. Spiritual life demands spiritual food, and that food comes from the Word of God. If somebody claims to be saved and they have no desire for the Word of God, they have no craving for the Word of God, then they may not have ever been born again. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 6, Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. You see, a person who is saved will hunger for the Word of God. They will want the Word of God. They will want more of the Word of God. You will want to hear the Bible preached. I'm telling you, you will want to hear Bible preaching. If you go to a church that doesn't preach the Bible, if you're saved, you should feel uncomfortable there. It should be uncomfortable to go to a church that does not preach the Word, that does not preach the gospel. Hey, let me tell you this as well. You don't join a church because the people are nice, right? You do not join a church because of nice people and they're nice to you. The number one reason you join a church is because they preach the Word. They preach the gospel. Why do you think the Jehovah's false witness gets such a group? Why do you think they have a following? They don't preach the Word. They don't even believe that Jesus is God. How do they do it? They're very nice to people. They learn how to sucker people in by being nice and welcoming and all those things. You're going to go to a church. You got to go to a church that preaches the Word. That's what I'm saying. You should hunger and thirst for the Word. That hunger and thirst is signs of life. Right? A dead corpse, a dead body does not hunger and thirst for anything. Right? And so if there's no spiritual life, if you don't desire the Word of God, maybe there's no life there at all. So I want you to ask yourselves, when was the last time you hungered for the Bible? When was the last time you hungered for the Word of God, to hear Bible preaching? You just could not wait to get into the Word of God. I'm not asking if you've done it out of duty or you've done it out of obligation or even if you've done it because my parents think I need to do it or because it's a habit. I'm asking you, when have you hungered? When have you thirsted for the Word of God? Your soul just longed for the Word of God. In Psalm chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible says, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight, His joy, His comfort, His strength, His ever-being, His delight in this sin-sick world is in the law of the Lord. It's in the Word. It's in the Word of God. It goes on and says, in His law doth He meditate day and night. You see, you want to please the Lord. You want to live the life according to the Word of God. You got to get in the Word of God. Right? You got to get in the Word of God. There should be some hungering there. There should be some thirsting there. But a lost person is going to shut his heart and mind to the Word of God. He'll spend more time dismissing the Word of God and questioning it away than anything else. Well, you know, I've heard this. Well, preacher, I just don't quite see it the way you see it. I just don't quite see it that way. Well, let me tell you, the problem isn't with the preacher or the pastor. The problem is you have a problem with the Word of God. You just need to settle it with God. You just need to start agreeing with God. God said it. He meant what He said. He wrote what He said. He gave us His Word. God breathed it out. He preserved it right here in the form of the King James Bible. And if you don't agree with it, you just need to get right with God. You need to hunger. You need to thirst after the Word of God. The Word of God, let me tell you, it's powerful. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You see, that Word of God, it goes deep. It goes down deep and it convicts of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And that Word of God is so powerful. But you know what? It will convict that lost person. And that lost person does not want to hear it. But let me tell you, Jesus said this in John 8:47. Jesus said this. He says, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Why can't I understand the Bible? Because you're not of God. This here is a bold statement. It's a strong statement. And none other than Jesus Christ, who is God Himself, said that statement. It reminds us that the disregard for Scriptures isn't just a minor technicality. It's not just a minor issue. It is a salvation issue. You don't hear the Word of God because you've never been born again. And Jesus said that. You know, many people say, oh, I love God. Oh, I love Jesus, right? I've knocked the doors. Oh, yeah, I love God. I've heard it all, right? But let me tell you, they don't love His Word. How can you love your husband if you don't want to hear him, right? If you don't want to hear His Word, can you love him? Can a believer love Jesus if they ignore His Word? Can we say we love God if we don't want to hear His Word? The Bible says, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments, right? And so if you love Jesus, you'll keep His commandments. Well, which one of them? Just the 10? No, all of them. All 66 books right here in the King James Bible, right? In Romans 8, verse 7, the Bible says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You see, that lost person, he's not only going to ignore the Word, he's going to be hostile to it. He doesn't love it. He doesn't submit to it. He resents it when it tries to correct him. And so what does he do? He stays away from church. He doesn't read his Bible. He pushes it off and pushes it off and pushes it off, right? Only a changed heart will desire the Word of God. If there is no desire for the Word of God, they may not have been saved at all. You know, I've heard many people say this, oh, I just don't understand the Bible, preacher. If you would, turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. And I want you to look here at verse number 14. There's a reason why you don't understand the Bible, and I'm going to tell you in just a minute, right? 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, look here in verse number 14. Well, I'm going to do one better. I'm going to let God tell you. There you go. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look there in verse 14. He says, but the natural man is the lost man. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That lost man, that natural man, cannot understand the Bible. Let me tell you this. If you say you do not understand the Bible, it's because of one of two reasons. Number one, you either do not read your Bible, so therefore you are not going to understand it. Or number two, you are the natural man that we're talking about here. You are the lost man, and it's foolishness unto you. I remember, you know, trying to read my Bible. I'll read the Bible. Yeah, I didn't understand anything. Why? Because I was lost. But I needed that Holy Spirit of God in me. But you see, either you do not read the Bible or you are lost. If you're saved, that moment of salvation, you know what happened? That Holy Spirit of God came in. He indwelled in you. The Holy Spirit of God lives within you if you're saved. And you know what that means? That means you have the author of the Scripture in you to teach you. If you read the Bible and you're saved, He's going to teach you. I told you the story about me. I was saved at 38. I was 40 years old before I got into a Bible preaching church. And I remember there, and we had the teen group that night. And I remember, you know, I'm 40 years old, and they had the teens against the parents on Bible trivia. And I'm up there to answer the question against one of the teens. And I got at it was the simplest question. Simplest question, and I didn't know it. I didn't know it, right? Hey, here I am. I'm not been saved that long. Not been in the Bible preaching church, but just getting into it, getting into Bible college, learning. Right, the Holy Spirit of God was able to teach me and to learn me. It didn't just happen overnight. The Holy Spirit of God will teach you if you're saved. John 14:26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things." You get that? The Holy Spirit is going to teach you if you get in the Word. But let me tell you, a lost person has no desire for the Word of God. You know what else? Secondly, there has been no change in you. Right? How do I know if I'm lost? Well, there's been no change in you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, you know the verse. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know what the greatest miracle in life is? The greatest miracle in this life is not the healing of the sick. It's not the raising of the dead. The greatest miracle in this life is when a sinner, dead in trespasses and sins, is made alive, is made a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am proof of that. I was lost and on my way to hell, no doubt, until I was 38 years old and heard the gospel of Jesus Christ and repented of my sins and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And He saved me and He changed me and He cleaned me up and He put me on a new road, on a new path. Right? And the path brought me here. Never in my life could I have said I would ever have done any of this in my life. Right? I had other things I wanted to do. I had other plans. I had my life all laid out after I retired from the Air Force. Right? But you see, God makes you a new creature. Right? He makes you a new creature. And you know what He calls it? He calls it being born again. Being born again. And when you get born again, the Bible says you're a new person. The Bible says you're a new creature. And this isn't just a temporary change. I mean, you probably did the same thing I did. I'm going to turn over a new leaf this year. I'm going to make me a New Year's resolution. I'm going to try to be a good person this year. I'm going to do this and do that. But you know what? Every single time, it failed. Every single time. Why? Because I'm a sinner. Nothing good in me at all. Right? I didn't have the Holy Spirit of God in me. I needed Him to make the change. You see, you do not change to come to Jesus. You come to Jesus and He will change you 100% of the time. If there's no change, there's no salvation. If there's no change, something desperately is wrong. Every single person will have evidence of the hope that lives in you. You'll have evidence of that salvation. You say, yeah, but I was saved at 5. Well, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But there's still going to be a change because the Bible says it here. If you claim to be saved, and that power of the Almighty God has saved you, but nothing has changed, that doesn't match the Scriptures. Jesus said in John 5:39, search the Scriptures. Search them. Get in them. Look at them. Study them. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Jesus is it. There's got to be a change. Number three, I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. So number three, if you're able to sin and are not chastened of the Lord, you're not His. If you are able to sin and not chastened of the Lord, you're not His. Hebrews chapter number 12, I want you to look here in verses 6 and 7. He says here in Hebrews 12, 6 and 7, He says, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Verse 7, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Hey, we need to understand that the Father, God the Father, is going to chasten His children. We are not left here after salvation to do whatever we want. If we sin, the Lord is going to chasten us. He cares about what we do. He wants us to be more like Him. We left us here after salvation to conform us into the image of His Son. And that's why we're here. But when we get into sin, He tells us here that He scourgeth, get this, in verse 6, He says He scourgeth every son. Everyone. Meaning if you're saved, you are going to get scourged. You're going to get a spanking if you sin. God doesn't chasten or punish the devil's children. John 8:44, Jesus says, you are of the of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. You see, I'm going to burst somebody's bubble here today, but we're not all God's children. We are not all God's children. You got to get that. We are all God's creation. We are all God's created. We're created in the image of God. We are His creation, but you got to be born again. You got to be born from above. You got to be born from God. Born again. Trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ to be a child of God. And when you do that, when you get born again, you become a child of the King. When a saved person sins, God chastens us. He spanks us. He doesn't throw us away. Right? We have, if you have salvation, you have eternal life. You have everlasting life. And what that means is it doesn't go away and come back and you have to do something else to get it. You have eternal life. You are sealed until the day of redemption. You cannot lose your salvation if you truly have it. Okay? Think of it this way. Many of you have kids. I had two boys. Two boys didn't always do right. As you know, if you have kids, they don't always do right, do they? Sometimes they need to be chastened. But they were chastened. They were never thrown away. We never discarded of them or got rid of them or put them, you know, tried to take them back. We corrected them, right? That's part of being a parent, right? We chastened them. And that's just proof and example that shows that the child of God will go through chastening. We are His children. If you claim to be saved and you do not get chastened, the Bible says you're not His. You're not His. It's that simple, right? If you're lost and you're unsaved, you may be experiencing something that you call chastisement, but sin has a consequence as well, let me tell you. Sin has consequences. Take, for example, if a man, a person gets goes and he gets drunk and he goes to the bar and gets in a bar fight and, you know, and he gets one of his eyeballs ripped out. Right? So now he goes through life without his eyeball. Right? That is not God's chastisement. That is the effect of sin. That is the effect of him going out and getting drunk and being in sin. If you would, flip over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. Read you a couple of verses here. 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John 2. Look here starting in verse number 4. 1 John 2, 4. He says here, 1 John 2, 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his, what? Commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You get that? Remember, if you love me, keep my commandments. Let's go on 1 John chapter 3. Look here in verse number 8 and 9. I want you to get this here. Look here at verse 8. He says, he that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Verse 9. Get this here. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Well, what do you mean, preacher? I thought we's all sinners, for all have sinned, right? He says here, if you're born of God, God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. You see, my point is this, if you sin as a child of God, you're going to get chastised. You're not going to be able to say it. You're not going to be able to stay in your sin. Right? And what he's saying is here, you might sin, but there's going to be a chastisement coming. There's going to be a correction coming. A child of God is not going to be able to commit sin again and again and stay in it without any repercussions from the Holy Spirit of God. It's not going to happen. As we all know, committing certain sins does not make a person lost, and refraining from sin does not make a person saved. You're only saved from placing your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got to move on here. Let me give you a fourth one here. If you love the world more than you love God. Hey, how do I know if I'm lost? If I love the world more than God. In 1 John chapter 2, we're right there, so that worked out great. 1 John chapter 2, look there starting in verse 15. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, you get that, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now there's many church members all around the world that follow the pull of the world and they'll leave the house of God on a Sunday or on a Wednesday. And they're showing their love for the world more than they are for God. It kind of worries me about those people that don't really show any concern about being faithful to the Lord's house. They're not faithful on a Sunday. They're not faithful on a Wednesday. They miss church. They miss visitation time and again. And they're okay with it. They don't see anything wrong with it, but it just makes you wonder, what is their relationship like with God? Because when it comes time for vacation, they don't miss vacation, right? They pack up and go on vacation. Hey, rain, sleet, snow, ice, hail, sickness, it doesn't matter. They're on vacation. But hey, you know, the slightest little, I got to stay home from church today. Oh, I can't make it to church today, right? The slightest little sickness, the slightest little pain, anything comes up, they're out of church. It makes no sense, right? It makes no sense. But you see, a Holy Spirit-filled person who loves the Lord, if you love me, keep my commandments. The Bible says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, right? We're to be in church. But notice here in verse number 16, he says here, the lust of the flesh. What does that mean? Well, that is, there is the desire to have things. My flesh wants things, and I'm always wanting that newest version, that newest addition, the latest, newest, brightest thing, whatever it might be. It has nothing to do with a need. It's all about wants. It's all about lusting. He goes on and talks about the lust of the eyes. That is wanting what I see. Everything I see, oh, I want this, oh, I want that. Your eyes see it, and your heart wants it. And so what happens? You begin craving it, and craving it, and craving it. And it doesn't stop until you get it. He goes on and talks about the pride of life. The pride of life, that's letting that inward self control the outward self. The old man controlling the new man, the new creature. Right? It is being in the flesh. And the Bible tells us over and over again, we're not to walk in the flesh, but we're to walk in the Spirit. So what does that mean? That means that, hey, maybe this is talking about a lost person. Hey, they may be a church member, but they may be dealing with a lost person here. The lust of the world is just pulling them and pulling them and pulling them. If that pull of that world makes all the decisions for you, you may not have gotten salvation. If you don't love to be here, that brings me to my next point here. Number 5, you do not enjoy being around God's people. Right, you see it here in 1 John 3:14. Look at that verse. 1 John 3:14 says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren." You get that? We love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Now I wonder how this fits into the people that intentionally miss church or intentionally miss Sunday school. One that does not crave to be around God's people. One that does not long to be around the brethren. Right? It's frightening, actually. It's worrisome when people can just withdraw from the fellowship and they can miss. You know what happens when you miss one service? You'll miss another one. Right, exactly. It becomes that much easier to miss another service. And another service, right? But that demeanor that you're depicting there is a different spirit than a child of God. It's a different spirit than what the Word of God teaches. There's some people that would rather love going out with their lost buddies than coming to church. There are some that would just love to hang out with the backslidden family members than the fellowship with God's people. But what we're talking about here is love for the brethren. There's love for the brethren here. That is that proof that we pass from death onto life if we love the brethren. That's all of them. Sometimes it's hard, yes. But you see, God put that Holy Spirit in us. He put that desire in us. He put that ability to love the brethren in us if we've been born again. And I'm going to give you a couple more here. Moving on, we're going to see here that your prayers are not answered. 1 John chapter 3, look there in verse 22. He says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." All right, so we see here, whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. We see here that a saved person is going to get some prayers answered. You may not get all of your prayers answered, but there's going to be evidence of salvation. There's going to be evidence of prayers answered. Hey, if we're His. Because we remember, God does not hear the prayers of the lost. Okay, in John 9:31, the Bible says, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners." Okay, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him he heareth. And what is his will? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is his will that not any should perish, but that all shall come to repentance. All to be saved. All right, that is his will. But hey, if your prayers are not being answered, we need to check it out. Why is that? Hey, let me give you another one here. If you turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, I'm going to see here, hey, how do I know if I'm a lost person? Because the Spirit of God does not bear witness. The Spirit of God does not bear witness in you. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 16, the Bible tells us that. He says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How much plainer can you get? How much more? It's just that simple. The Spirit itself beareth witness. The Holy Spirit, that is, bears witness that we are the child of God. He quickens our heart. He makes us alive. He makes us a new creature. He puts a desire to hear the Word of God preached, and He puts that desire to read the Word of God and to learn and to obey. If you love me, keep my commandments. He puts that desire in us to love the brethren. Okay? And there should be some answered prayers that go along with that. In Ephesians 1:13, the Bible says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You get that? The Holy Spirit has put that in us, that promise in us, that we're sealed until the day of redemption. We have that. That Spirit in us that bears witness with the Holy Spirit that we belong to Him. If there's no Spirit, there's no witness. If there's no witness, there's no Holy Spirit. In Romans 8, look there in verses 8 and 9. Verses 8 and 9, he says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. You get that? You get this next phrase here. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You see, at that moment of salvation, that Holy Spirit comes in. At that moment, it's not a thing you work up to. At that moment, you trust Christ as your Savior. The Holy Spirit of God comes in. He indwells you, and He changes you, and He makes you a new creature. I got one more point for you here. I want you to see, lastly here, that lost person has no fear of hell. If you turn over to Mark chapter 9, you have no fear of hell. No fear. And that's a thing today because so many churches don't preach on hell. Oh, they excuse it away, right? Oh, that's not really a thing. They excuse it away. But Jesus spoke explicitly on hell. He spoke more on hell than on heaven. He spoke on hell because He didn't want anybody to go to that place. Here in Mark chapter 9, look here, I'm going to read a few verses, but look at verse 43. In Mark 9, look here, starting in verse 43. He says, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands, get this, to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Verse 44, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Verse 45, and if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter whole into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. In verse 48 he says, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Again, it says that over and over again. Hey, the very thought of hell should bring fear to our hearts. The very thought that Jesus spoke explicitly on hell, hey, that should bring a fear in our heart. That should cause us to frighten. It should cause us to tremble. That the very fact of the matter is that we might have lost loved ones, family members going to this place. We might have neighbors, co-workers that are going to this place. If we truly believe what Jesus wrote and the fact that when a man takes his last breath without Jesus Christ, he lifts up his eyes being in the torments of hell and you can never, never, never come out of that place. You can never, never, never get out of that torment. It should bring about a fear to everybody. We should fear hell, and we should go and tell everybody that we can to get salvation, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do I do that? How do I avoid this place? Well, you got to hear the Word of God. You got to hear the Word of God. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, it says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see, you got to have faith, right? We none of us were there when all this took place in the Bible. We got to have faith. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and then not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, it's all a gift. It is a free gift. It's nothing you can do or work up or do enough good works to get there. It's not going to happen. Well, why is that? Well, because God is holy. God is a holy, righteous God, and His righteousness, His holiness, demands judgment. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Let me tell you that sin is what has separated us. Ever since the garden, man sinned, we all have sinned because of that, because of Adam. All sin passed all the way down to you and I. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. You got to get that. What God owes us is not a happy life. What God owes us is not a good life. What God owes us isn't pain-free life. God doesn't owe us anything except hell. The wages of sin is death. That's what we earn because of our sin. Death. But let me tell you, death isn't just dying and going to the grave. Death isn't just dying and going to the grave. Death is a separation from God forever in the eternal torment of hell, and God does not want you to go there. Death isn't purgatory. Right? The Catholics say, oh, you go to purgatory, you get prayed out of there if you give us enough money. No, it's not the case. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Heaven or hell await. And if you die without Jesus Christ, you die and go to the sinner's hell that Jesus preached so much about that He does not want you to go there. That's the bad news. But the good news is God loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He doesn't want any to perish. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. That's why God came as Jesus Christ, took on flesh and died on that cross. He died, He was whipped and scourged and beaten, and His blood was shed out for all of our sins. And He died on that cross, and they buried Him. But you know what? Just like He said He would, 3 days later, He bodily resurrected from the grave. He rose from the dead. He conquered the grave. He conquered sin. He defeated the devil once and for all. You see, Jesus paid it all. And Jesus said this in John 14:6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way. If you're putting your faith in some other way than Jesus Christ, you're on a dead-end road. It's not going to happen. Jesus specifically said He's the only way you get to heaven. And He says, ye must be born again. Hey, no church can take you to heaven. No religion can take you to heaven. Not being baptized, that's not going to get you to heaven. Only way you can get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. He wants to give you the gift. All you have to do is receive the gift. It's that easy. It's just like Christmas. You get a gift, do you receive it or reject it? But you have the choice. The Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Hey, have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you received Him as your Savior? You say, well, I don't know, preacher, what does that look like? Well, Romans 10:9-10 tells us what it looks like. He says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You say, oh, but preacher, I believe Jesus was a good man. He was a good prophet. He did a lot of great things. But I don't believe He rose from the dead. Then you can't be saved. You're not ready to be saved. You got to believe that He is who He is and that He rose from the dead. And you see, that's the promise. Because He rose from the dead, we have the promise of that He's going to raise our body one day. That we have the promise that everything that He said in the Bible is true about the mansions in heaven, about the resurrection of the dead in Christ, about the judgments of hell to come. It's true. It's in the Bible. Jesus said so. Where are you at today is the question. Where are you at today? Because you're either saved or you're lost. That's it. There's no in between. There's nothing in between. You are either saved or you are lost. But my cue is, do not wait until it's too late to do anything about it. You need to get that settled today. 1 John 5:13 says you can know you have eternal life. K-N-O-W, you can know you have eternal life, and it's through Jesus Christ. You can come to Him today. You can get Him settled today. You can come to Jesus Christ today. He will save you. He will give you eternal life. He will give you everlasting life, and you can't lose it. You come to Him, and that mansion is waiting for you in heaven. But let me ask you this, many Christians here today, Christian, are we living for the Lord? I think it's time that we start living a life for Christ. Start living like we could be standing in front of the Lord Jesus Christ at this very next second. Life is short. Life is a vapor. It's going to be here and gone in an instant. In an instant. We'll be standing before the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's time we quit living like the world. I think it's time we quit living for the world. Let me ask you this. Is there enough evidence to convict you as a Christian? If you are arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Why don't we just let the Lord have full reign of your life here today? Let's pray.